this morning, and he's still good. Amen. Let's turn to Colossians chapter number 3 this afternoon. Colossians chapter number 3, if you'll meet me there. I'm going to preach just one verse to you tonight, and I don't have a whole lot of notes. I think it's a simple truth, but something that's maybe simple in our understanding, easy to get maybe, but harder to do. And I've just entitled this, Let Him Rule. And specifically, the verse deals with letting the peace of God rule. And so, like I said, it's going to be something that you're going to go, yep, that's what we need to do. But it's not as easy done, it's not as easy done than it is said, okay? But let's look at Colossians 3, and we're going to read verse 15 together. And again, we've been working on this whole passage, so I'll remind you of those things in a second. But our key verse tonight, verse 15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Did you know this? God wants you to be at peace. He wants you to have peace. That's what God desires for us. And this verse tells us to let the peace of God rule. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for all that you've done in our midst today. We pray that you speak to our hearts now in this afternoon service. And Lord, I know the time. I know that it's people may be tired. And so, Lord, I just pray you give us an extra measure of energy. Help us to tune in just for a few moments here. And I pray that you give us every word that we need. Lord, help me as I preach. And we'll thank you for it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, remember, we're working on chapter 3, which really the whole chapter, as you would expect, very much goes together. It starts with an if-then statement. And really, Paul is continuing this whole if-then idea throughout the whole chapter. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. So there's some things that are the ifs, right? There's some present realities. There's some things that are just, you know, once you got saved, they happened and we didn't do anything about it. And because of that, there's some thens. There's some ways in which we should behave. If we've been saved, we should behave differently, right? That's the if-then. Well, if we've been saved, then we've been risen with Christ. The old man is dead. He's done away with. Your life is now all about Christ, and the new man is now available to you. Your destiny has changed. Jesus Christ is everything. And so there's some commands that go along with that, and we've worked on these, that we're to now seek those things which are above. Before we were saved, we didn't seek what was above. Now we should. We should set our affection on things above. Before we were saved, we loved the things of the world. Now we're not supposed to love the things of the world. We're supposed to set our affections higher. We talked about cutting off problem areas in our life, mortifying earthly members. We talked about putting off the character of the old man and then putting on the new character of the new man. And now we're in verse 15, and it's a simple verse. And I really thought about preaching verse 15, 16, and 17. But then I just told myself, there's too much there. I'd rather give you three short ones than one very long one where you don't remember anything. Does that make sense? And so, because each one of these verses is so important, the Christian should be at peace and live at peace. And the Lord tells us in verse 15, it's available, but we live in a world that very much lacks peace. The world lacks peace. The common man today has no peace. Everyone is seemingly in turmoil. Everyone is worried about everything. Everyone is angry about everything, right? No one that's unsaved is living in peace. And I can say that emphatically because the Bible tells us that the lost man cannot experience peace like the believer. What's sad is when the believer doesn't experience peace. We're real bad about worrying about stuff, right? We're real bad about letting stuff get under our skin and making us angry. I was just kind of jotting notes down about worry. And I like to joke about worry because it is funny how silly we are. Have you ever been to a point in your life where there was nothing to worry about and that worried you? Because you thought, man, there's got to be something that I should be worried. I'm forgetting something that I really need to be stressing over right now. That isn't that us sometimes? I mean, it's almost like if things are going good, we're worried. Yesterday I was watching go Red Raiders, guns up. Or I was watching my football team play, and they were ahead. And I'm telling you, it makes me more nervous when they're ahead. because I feel like we're just going to mess it up in the next play or something. And I'm thinking, I think I even said out loud, why do I worry so much when we're ahead? This is supposed to be fun. It's not fun if you worry. And anyway, but yeah, we're like that. If we can't find something to worry about, we worry about the fact that we can't find something to worry about. And that's ridiculous. It really is. And there's so much in our world that, man, it just sets us off. And it gives us a turmoil in our heart. And notice that this is the peace of God ruling in our hearts. So this really is, I mean, we're not talking about world peace between nations, right? Nations not shooting each other. We're talking about what's going on in here. We're never going to control the outside world and all the things around us and the circumstances. But Christian, you can have peace in your heart today. And you might be saying, yeah, I'm looking forward to that time when we have peace. Hebrews calls it a rest. And sometimes we read Hebrews and we read that passage that deals with that rest and we think, man, it'll be nice one day when I can finally rest. And there won't be all this stuff going on. And the Lord will give us this peace and this rest. And again, it all starts from our salvation, doesn't it? We weren't at peace with God. And because God saved us through his son, now we can have peace, right? Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So we can have peace and we look forward to a future peace when we're in heaven. And we should. Sometimes I set you up and I'm like, yeah, we should all look forward to that peace. You know where I'm going, that we can have peace right now, today, October, well, I need some readers, 12th, thank you, October the 12th, 2025, you can have peace. You say, what about all the stuff going on in the world? Doesn't matter, Christian. You can have peace. You can have peace. It's not just someday, but now. Peace is not, and I'm going to try to define a little bit of what peace is. When we think of peace, we think about the absence of war. I was pretty excited to hear that there's some peace treaty business going on over in the Middle East. I'm thankful for that. We are supposed to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. But did you know just because they're not launching rockets at each other doesn't mean they're at peace with one another, right? They still hate each other. And it's just still a powder keg waiting to go off. And so peace, the way we're going to talk about it tonight, is not just the absence of war. It's not just the absence of war between nations. It's not just the absence of fighting between neighbors. This is peace in the soul, regardless of circumstance. I read one definition. I thought it was really good. It's this. The peace is the tranquil state of a soul assured of its salvation through Christ, and so fearing nothing from God and content with its earthly lot of whatsoever sort it is. Now, that's a big definition. But what it's saying is, no matter what's going on in this world, a Christian should be able to rest in the fact that we have a heavenly home for all of eternity. We have a God who loves us, who sent his son to die for us and save us. We have a Savior who walks beside us every single day. Therefore, we can have a tranquil state of soul even when the whole world is burning down around us. Peace is not the absence of trouble. As long as you live on this earth, you're going to have trouble. Job told us that, right? Our life is what? A few days and full of trouble, right? So you're not going to escape trouble. And so if God tells you you can have peace now, that means that peace is not the absence of trouble. So listen, peace is the confidence and contentment in God's presence in the midst of trouble. Peace is the confidence and contentment in God's presence in the midst of trouble. I want you to think about David for just a moment. David, the psalmist. David, the king of Israel. On Wednesday nights, we're working through the Bible book by book, and we just did 1 Samuel. And 1 Samuel is where David is anointed after Saul loses the kingdom. And God is going to put David on the throne in 2 Samuel. But in 1 Samuel, Saul is still the king, and much of that book is the story of David just running from Saul, just running from Saul. And so he's in the wilderness of En-Gedi or En-Gedi, however you say that. He's in that, it's the hills of the wild goats is where he is. He's on the run. I mean, he's hiding in caves. His men are hungry and running all the time, starving, doing what they can. They're really, it's survival mode. And you think about David's lot and all he had to put up with. And I mean, he's supposed to be the king of Israel and he's on the run. He writes a psalm, and in Psalm 4, he says this, "Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer." So I read verse 1 because I wanted to lay this foundation that David was in distress. And I mean, we would all be that way. So far, no one's tried to hunt me down and kill me. But that's how David was going. That's what was happening to David. He was literally, he described his life like this. "There is but a step between me and death." That's what he said. Because around any corner could be Saul and his men. And so David was literally running for his life. And he writes this psalm and he's in distress. But in a later verse, he says this, "I will both lay me down in peace and sleep. For thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety." How does David, in the midst of that stressful time, that distressful time, in the midst of his life being in danger, how does he just lay down and sleep peacefully? I've got one of the best things that so some people struggle to sleep, okay? And if you struggle to sleep, it's not a message against you in any way. There's other things that cause you to not sleep and all that, but I'm one of those that if I want to sleep, I can sleep. I'm telling you right now, I could lay on this bench over here and go to sleep before you could get out the back door if I wanted to. I'm just one of those. I lay down at night. It makes people mad when they room with me because they, we say goodnight and then I close my eyes. 3 or 4 seconds later, I'm out and they're going, "He's joking." I had a guy I was hunting with one time and he stayed with me. And so I tell him, "Good night, see you in the morning." And I fell asleep like that, started snoring. He starts laughing. He thinks I'm joking, like making fake snoring. No, I was asleep. I never heard him laugh. He told me the next day. And I'm that way. And I've always told people, like, how do you do that? I think it's called being tired. But I always told people clean living. That's what I told them. I think it's just called being tired. But I said, no, it's clean living. And I was joking, but there's some truth to that. Right? If you're right with the Lord and you're trusting in the Lord, David could say, "I'll lay down and I'll sleep and I'll sleep peacefully. Only thou makest me to dwell in safety." How is it possible to have peace in the midst of a trial or tribulation or peace in the midst of the world that has none? Well, the Bible gives us some help. And I just again want to be a help, and I don't think this is anything new tonight, but Isaiah 26:3, you might jot that verse down. The Bible says, "Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee." So notice, Isaiah says, how we will have perfect peace and how God will keep us in perfect peace is when our mind, it has something to do with our thinking, our mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Okay, so there's two parts to what Isaiah said and how God can help us have peace. First of all, it's that our mind is stayed on him, right? We have the right thoughts happening in our mind. The second thing is that we trust in God. So there's a knowledge element. There's a faith element. You see that? Whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. So peace has to do with our knowing who the Lord is, and peace also has to do with our trust in the Lord. One of my favorite stories in the Bible, I reference it all the time because it's just such a good story. Mark 4:35-41, the Lord tells his disciples, hey, they've been ministering all day. It's one of those long days. He says, hey, he probably didn't say hey, but he said, disciples, let's get in the boat. Let's go for a boat ride. And I mean, you're going, oh, boats are fun. Yeah, let's get in, Lord. Let's all get in. Let's go take a boat ride across the sea. Now, the Lord knew there was going to be a storm that night. None of the disciples knew that. They all get in the boat, and, they're taking this trip across the water. And the Lord, he goes back to the back, and he's brought him a pillow. The scripture says he's back there asleep on a pillow. And so he's laying on a pillow in the back. All of a sudden, the storm comes. And you know the story. These guys think they're going to die. The storm comes. I mean, there's water going in the boat. They are scrambling around. They're trying to survive. And they where's Jesus at anyway? Where is he at? And they look around. He's asleep in the back of the boat. And they wake him up. Lord, carest thou not that we perish? The Lord said to him in Mark, how is it that you have no faith? He said to him in Matthew, O ye of little faith. In Luke, he said, where is your faith? All three times, and it was just one story told in three places, you understand? But the Lord, he questioned them about their faith. You don't believe I can handle the storm? You woke me up. No, they didn't believe him. They thought they were going to die. Then he, after he rebukes him, he looks out and he says, peace, be still. And I mean, I would have loved to have been there. The waves just go, I believe, very quickly. And all of a sudden, it's like glass. And remember, they started then to fear him. And they said, what manner of man is this that even the winds and the waves obey? You know what they did? They learned some knowledge about Christ, and they were questioned on their faith. This idea of peace has to do with what we know about the Lord, who he is, and also where our trust is. If our mind is stayed on the Lord, if we know who he is and we have a good understanding of him, and then we trust in him, we know that we then have nothing truly to worry about. What storm can God not overcome? What problem can the Lord not fix? You say, well, sometimes we just have to go through trials, and trials are scary, trials are hard. That's absolutely true. But which one is he not going to walk through with you? If we know who he is and we trust in him, we can have peace. It's like this. If you know, we get home late, and unfortunately, I don't know why there's so many football references today. Just that season, I guess. But I'm a Cowboys fan. Sorry. And sorry for me, not you. Steve understands. You know, sometimes we get home, the game's already over, and someone kind of gives me the score before we get home to watch it. And like, if it's one of the ones that we've won, and I hear the score and I know we've won, I watch that game in perfect peace. I mean, I don't care if they get an interception, fumble, main player gets hurt, whatever. It's like, hey, I kind of peaked. I know the score. It's all good. It's going to be fine. I mean, there's been some of those times where I knew we were going to win and it didn't look great in the second quarter. And I'm thinking, man, I'm glad I know the score. Because I wouldn't have known it, I'd be real worried. And you're like, you care too much. Probably, but whatever. If you know the ending, you don't worry about a thing, do you? Can I tell you something? I know the ending. I've read as it's been said, I've read the back of the book. I know where this thing's going. I know that the Bible says in Jeremiah, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Turn to Romans 8. Let's look at this. You know the verse I'm going to look at, but I want you to look at the stuff around the verse, the context of Romans 8. We know that it says in Romans 8, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. We know the Bible says that. That's what it says. It says all things work together for good. Again, it doesn't mean that everything you experience will be good. It says all things work together for good. But notice that verse is in the middle of this section dealing with hope and future hope. Verse 1, there is now, therefore, now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Look down to verse number 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. So Paul's like, hey, look ahead. Look beyond the storm and know that there's glory waiting, right? Verse 24. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. He's just explaining, if we're really truly believing in the Lord, we have hope. But if you know it, it's not hope anymore. He's like, this is how we have to live, because we believe in Christ, we hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth us with, or helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. In our time of trial and distress, when we don't even know what to pray, the Spirit helps us to pray. Verse 27, and he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know, notice it's a continuation, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. So the passage deals with hope, having hope in God's deliverance now and then. And notice, it kind of concludes with this thought, verse 31. What shall we say then to these? What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? You see, this is someone who is at peace. Hey, did you hear the news? Hey, if God is for us, who can be against us? Oh, you see the trial you're about to face here? Well, sure, but if God be for us, who can be against us? So we know. Let me just review a few things. We know, Christian, we're saved eternally. Do we know that? We know that God is working all things out for good. We know that no matter what our lot in this life is, we have a safe home in heaven. And we know that while we're here, Jesus will walk through every storm with us. We know that we have the Holy Spirit as our comforter. Do we know all those things? Then what's the problem? All right, look at Colossians with me. I'm going to show you the most important word in the verse. Colossians 3. The most important word in Colossians 3:15. Not Sunday night. I feel like we can do this. Does anyone know what the most important word? Brother Mark? It is. Man, I was hoping some people would get it wrong first, Brother Mark. I'm not going to call on you first next time. You know what the most important word? I thought maybe someone would say rule, right? Peace. Peace of God rule in your heart, which you're called in one body, be thankful. You know, the most important word, Brother Mark is right. It's the second word. It's the word let. L-E-T. Here's the point. God wants you to have peace. He's made peace available. He is the God of peace. We're going to see that in a second. He is a God that gives peace that passeth all understanding. But you have to let him have peace. Brother Brad, in his message this morning to the men, talked about peace and letting it. And he said something to this effect. I'm probably not quoting you right, but he said something to this. Nobody can take it. You have to give it up. And that's very true. Peace is something you can absolutely have, but you have to let God rule. Let the peace of God rule. You have to let. The word let means, like you need to know, right? It means to permit. It means to allow. It means to give power over. So here we're going to work on this. Let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a question. What do you let rule your heart? Because if it's not the peace of God, it's something else. What do you let, what do you allow to rule your heart? I've already mentioned the opposite of peace, which is that we could let our emotions rule our heart. Emotions like worry. I've never met a Christian that didn't struggle a little bit with worry. And if I'm honest, most of them struggle a lot bit. Worry. You know, when you let worry rule your heart, you're not going to be at peace. How about anger? Anger. Boy, our access to... let me be careful. I'm thankful for the Holy Spirit who edits my thoughts. our access to the general public through the connectivity we have these days, there's a lot of opportunities to get mad about stuff. Did you know that? I mean, I'm not here to stomp all over social media today. I'm just telling you, it can be both a positive. It can also be a huge detriment. There may be a day I get back. I actually jump on there every now and then because I get someone tells me something. Hey, did you see this? And I'll hop on and look. So it may be that I get on there and I'm a little bit, this is just us tonight. I can just talk. I'm a little bit convicted that we need to use it more for the Lord, even as a church. So we may have to step back into that world. I'm just saying though, just me as a human being, when I get on there and just start scrolling, it's not good. Because I get angry. It's like, thoughts edited. How? Why am I having to look at this? Did you know, if you're letting these things, okay, because we're trying to get to the how do we do it? Okay, how is it that worry is ruling? How is it that anger is ruling? Can I tell you, it's what you're letting in. We said that it has to do with our knowledge and our faith. What we're letting in. When I allow the world to feed me, whatever it wants to feed me through whatever device it is, I promise you, you let those things in, what it will breed is worry and anger. It's not going to breed. You're not going to get on social media, scroll through the general public feed, and then end up feeling great about life. It's yet to happen. It doesn't happen. You're like, goodness, we're a mess. And if you don't see the problem, you need to get back to the Lord. Like if you're on there and you don't see that this ain't right, then there's something that's not right. I'm just telling you. So if what we let in controls us, it may not be social media. You know, there's some that's like, man, I can't watch the news 24 hours a day anymore. It used to be you couldn't open the newspaper, right? What are those? No, it used to. You open the newspaper and there's the bad news right there. Whatever you let in, whatever you allow, whatever you give power over to. Let's go to Philippians chapter 4. This is where Brother Brad was. I appreciate his message this morning. It was really good. Philippians chapter number 4, we've got to be careful what we let in, what we allow. God's saying, let me in. Let the peace of God rule here. I think too many times we're filling our minds, our hearts, with all the things that cause worry and anger and stir us and just give us turmoil. And trust me, I'm not saying, hey, put your head in the sand, don't look around. No, we're supposed to be watchful. We're supposed to be sober. But I can't live in that stuff. I can live in the Word of God. I can live in His presence. Guess what? I've never spent too much time with God where it really messed me up. Do you know that? I've never been in the Bible so long that I walked away going, oh man, I'm a mess today. No, it always brings peace. It always brings help. It always brings comfort. Philippians says this, and we'll start in verse 7. Notice in verse 7, it says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The peace of God, which passeth all understanding. I would like to explain to you what that peace is all about, but it says right there, it passeth all understanding. This is the sort of peace you get, and you don't even know how you could possibly be at peace with the things that are going on. But you are. It passes all understanding. It says that peace of God that passeth understanding shall keep your hearts and minds. That means the word keep is like to guard or protect, like a shield. If you allow God to give you this peace, that peace will guard your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. Look at verse number 9, okay? Verse number 9, we're going to get to 8 in a second, but look at verse 9. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, And the God of peace shall be with you. So notice, verse 7 is the peace of God. He gives you the peace of God, but in verse 9, he gives you the God of peace. He's then your... In one instance, it's him guarding your heart and mind. The other instance, it's his very presence. How can I have peace in the midst of a trial when I'm right next to God? When the God of peace is in my corner. When I am close to him, he keeps my heart and mind. Notice then, sandwiched between those two verses about the peace of God and the God of peace is verse 8, which has to do with what we put in our mind. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. Do you know everything you read isn't true? Do you know most of the stuff you watch isn't true? We see videos now with all the AI stuff. Who knows? I watch videos all the time thinking, I don't even know if that was real. You know, you can't even tell false and real anymore, right? So be careful, because this verse is telling us, let's ponder things that are true. If you don't know that it's true, I wouldn't ponder it very long. Honest. Whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report, if there be any virtue or virtuous things, if there be any praise, things that we could praise Jesus for, think on these things. Now, how much of your daily intake of stuff could you filter out with verse 8? How much could you filter? If you just said, that's the filter, I'm not letting anything through these eyes or these ears that doesn't meet that filter, I'm going to tell you, you're going to filter out a lot of garbage. And it's going to help you. It's going to help you, because if those things aren't contaminating your mind and your heart and stirring you up and worrying you, then God has a chance to give you peace. So think about what fuels worry and anger. It's all this stuff we're letting in, letting. And God says, let the peace of God rule. Understand who I am. How do I do that? Well, I've got to be in his word. Let me dwell with you. Get close to him, his presence. A few weeks ago, and I'm done, but a few weeks ago, we moved into a new house a few months ago. You know, new houses have new noises, right? If you've ever moved and you like stay that first few nights in a new house, there's new noises, especially for kids. New shadows, you know. And a few weeks ago, we had just been moved in a few months ago, I guess. Brindley comes to our room, and she was hearing a strange noise. It was scaring her. Everybody else is asleep. And she was hearing this noise. It was like this. Now, some of you, if you heard that noise at night, you'd be scared too. And she was telling us this. And I'm, you know, as a dad and mom, we're like, oh, go to bed. You're fine, you know. But after a couple times, she was really worried. And so I went with her. And we laid in her bed. And I sat there and I listened, and sure enough, after a couple seconds, you know, and I thought, what in the world is that noise? You know? And what it was, the wind was blowing in such a way that it was just catching a part of her window, and it was just whistling in this one part of her window, because I kind of got to the bottom of it, figured it out. It's just the wind in the window. But I thought, no wonder she's scared. That is a weird noise. And you know, so she had been up two or three times and everything. So I said, well, I'll just lay here with you. But I told her, that's just the wind. That's all it is, just the wind. And I said this, there's nothing to be scared of. There's nothing to worry about. And I laid there in bed next to her, and in about 30 seconds, as I'm laying there, she went to sleep. Why? Because Dad's right there. Dad's right there. What could possibly go wrong? Who cares what noises are happening? Dad's right there. And I laid there, and I just thought, what an honor as a dad to just provide a little bit of comfort. That's what we need to do when we're worried, angry, we don't have peace. We got to crawl back up in our Father's lap and allow Him to give us peace. Let the peace of God rule. Father, we thank You for Your goodness. Thank You that You are that God that loves us and allows us to come to You. And Lord, just crawl up in Your lap and seek safety. And You give us that peace. Lord, I'm guilty of not having peace all the time when it's there available for me. And I'm sure everyone else could attest to that too. Lord, we just pray You'd help us even today and tomorrow and this week to be careful what we allow in and to make sure we're allowing You in so that we can have this peace. Thank You, God, for allowing us to have peace in such a world of turmoil. We look forward to a day when we live under Your rule, the perfect kingdom. Until then, Lord, we pray You keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Lord, we love You. We ask You dismiss us in Your love tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.